Let's get out here in the backyard and see if we can find Mr. Hopper here. Welcome to the outdoor living segment and hour of Rosie on the House. Hey, Mr. John, what you got going on back here in the yard today?
Turning my sprinkler system off.
Yeah, as well you should. How much rain we get in the valley? You know, it was a weird rain. My water retention basin in the front yard was completely full. And to my knowledge, it did anything more than just light sprinkle.
Well, there was a couple of pretty heavy short bursts in the middle of the night the other night.
Oh, maybe I missed that.
And then during the day, I think off and on, it just kind of, we had some short, quick bursts. I think we got about an inch.
Did we? Well, that's about what it takes to fill that retention basin. But I didn't see it in the swimming pool, and I never really heard a one-inch rain.
And it was pretty spread out, and it was a nice soaker in places, too. So that's always a good thing, too. Got a lot of soak. I did see some pictures of Christopher Creek, and, man, it was ripping and roaring.
We're on air.
You might as well chime in.
Jennifer walks in the studio just a few minutes late, and she thinks John and I are having a little personal chit-chat.
The door was open.
I know.
You always close.
I was waiting for you to get
it. I couldn't believe it. We weren't on yet.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I apologize.
Yeah, that's great.
A little grace for
that's live
Christmas
radio.
Eve. Yeah.
That's live radio. So the rain was much needed. Boy, I spent 2 weekends ago down in southern Arizona between Sonoyta and Nogales, and man, it was dry. I mean, you just walked through the tall. They had rain earlier because the grass was up
lots
to your thighs,
rain, yeah.
You know. And what is that grass down there, John, that grows in those bunches that just...
Saccatone is the stuff down in those bottoms that gets the big clump.
Yes.
Thick clump, yeah.
Man, that's nasty stuff.
It kind of is, yeah. They'll burn that occasionally. You know, some of those guys will burn those bottoms. That really makes a difference if they can do that.
Oh, man, that is nasty stuff.
It's kind of impenetrable.
It is, absolutely. And then you cannot see where your foot falls, and literally there's sinkholes, like, interspersed in between those.
Well, either that or the
pet. We lost the dog.
Yeah.
Couldn't find the dog.
Yeah, there are. Exactly. And then the pedestals of that grass, the clump, the base of it, if it's built up over the years, sometimes those are 2 or 3 feet up off. See, if you're stepping on those, there's about a 3 foot cavity between the next clump of it. So,
well, it was about as dry down there as I've ever seen it in December. So great,
yeah,
glad to hear we got a good soaking.
And more coming, it looks like.
Anybody that wants a white Christmas can have it this
go
year
to Cave
with,
Creek.
Just, with just a short drive, just a real
maybe
short
go to
drive.
Cave Creek here this evening.
No. We were talking a little bit about Christmas traditions, and I know the Harper family have probably more Arizona Christmases under your belt than the great majority.
Calling me old?
The family. Y'all are fourth generation Arizonan or third generation?
Third native, fourth in Arizona. So
it was your great grandpa got on a train in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and got off the train in Yuma.
Yep.
At what, like 13 years old?
12.
At 12 years old.
12 years
Can
old.
Can you imagine?
Got hired out, room and board in Yuma, Arizona, went to Yuma High School, and did not see his mom and dad again until he got married at his wedding.
They wow.
So, yeah.
Now, you want to know, for you regular listeners, you want to know how small this world really is? That 12-year-old's dad was a Methodist minister.
Correct.
In Louisiana.
East Texas, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. And he kind of traveled the Sabine River. He kind of went from Lake Charles to Shreveport and kind of Tyler and East Texas and all of that.
Yep.
My mom's grandfather was a Methodist minister on old Highway 90 in Louisiana. So while your great-grandfather was traveling north and south up the Sabine River, my great-great-grandfather was traveling east and west between Houston and New Orleans as a Methodist minister. They probably knew each other.
Undoubtedly. Undoubtedly. You know, I've got my dad, who had him, gave him to me. I've got a lot of his old notes You know, his devotions and some of his sermons and outlines and stuff, and it was pretty cool.
I've got the same from this great-grandfather. William Perry was the man's name. Now, his dad was Peg Leg Perry, and Peg Leg lost his leg in the Battle of Chancellorsville.
Oh, no kidding.
Came back and lived in Clinton, Louisiana, shot a man in his front yard because he wouldn't quit cussing with Peg Leg's wife on the front patio. He said, if you don't quit cussing in front of my wife, I'm going to shoot you. He kept cussing. He shot him dead. Peg Leg was the third man to die at, what's the prison down there that John Cash sings about?
Folsom?
Folsom Prison Blues.
Folsom and San Quentin are the two that I can think of. But.
So I've got an ancestor, Peg Leg Perry, who died at Folsom Prison for shooting a man for cussing in front of his wife.
It wasn't just cause, apparently.
You'd think back in those days you'd get away with that, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Back in the country.
You may not know it, but we are taking landscaping questions.
Yes,
today.
We are. Yes. Okay,
so but I wanted let me give out the number real
quick. Okay, all
right. 1-888-767-4348. And we're getting text lined up here, so it's 411-923. That's a great way for people to get questions answered when they're out doing their last minute show.
Well, we got off on this history.
If you get us on, you get these two on history, and we're gone.
We got off on this bunny trail because I wanted John Jay to share the fact of how many Arizona Christmases his family has shared.
So I don't know when the tradition started, but really the Wenzel side, my mom's side, who are really the longer Arizona family. So my mom's grandfather was the warden at the state penitentiary in Florence. He was a rancher that moved out here from Texas. They're from kind of the hill country in Texas. He and his brothers came out here and ranched in Tonto Basin, and then over, you know, around Wilcox and Klondike, and then he ended up in law enforcement in Klondike. He was in law enforcement when the Powers boys were evading the draft and holed up in a cabin in the Galero Mountains. And his brother-in-law, my grandmother's uncle, was killed at the shootout at Powers Cabin.
Powers Cabin.
And then he became the warden, and then eventually became the superintendent of the highway department. So that side of the family's been here since the late 1800s. My grandmother was born in Christmas, Arizona, which doesn't really exist any longer. And so anyway, she and my grandpa started at some point making tamales, which is a Hispanic Arizona Hispanic tradition. It's just Arizona to have tamales at Christmas. So for as long as I can remember, we as a family have gathered. We continue to do it. We did it last weekend, make tamales, and then we have a Mexican food dinner for Christmas. We have tamales and green chili and beans and pozole, and my mom makes all that stuff, and it's amazing.
How many can y'all put together? When the whole family gets together on a mission, how many tamales can y'all
build? Oh, how many? We did about 40 dozen.
40 dozen.
Yeah. You might as well make a bunch. It's a mess. it's a messy process. But you might as well, doing a dozen is just not, it's like, wow. The hardest part of them is actually then you've got to steam them. You've got to cook them. So you wait, you're making them and you're knocking them out. But, we have 6 or 8 steamers going, on Coleman stoves and burners everywhere all over the place. And roasting pans, and so we've got them. We make both what we call red, it's pork tamales, and we make green corn tamales, both, about half and half. And it's quite a production.
Tamales, it sounds like quite a production.
I was going to bring some this morning, I totally forgot.
I was going to ask. I'm so glad you said that.
I got some set aside for
awesome.
You.
Well, let's get into the landscape and gardening segment of this show. This time of year, boy, the weather. I do have my sprinklers turned off, by the way.
Good man.
Just on our little competition between each other to save that 10%.
Now that we got all our leaks fixed, we can probably have an apples-to-apples comparison.
I'm curious. Our next water bill, I need to take a look at it. Okay. I was on track. I really was doing very, very
And, you know, this could be one of those winters where if you've turned it off now and we get rain again today and every 10 days or 2 weeks, there are winters I've not watered my lawn all winter.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, kind of keep that in mind, folks. If it, you know, it just, the days are short, they're cool. Even this morning when, you know, it hadn't rained yesterday, you woke up, your car was just wet and dripping. And, you know, that moisture stays around a long time. So probably keep it off for a while.
I had the occasion to dig a little hole in the backyard with my grandson yesterday. And, boy, it was wet a good 16, 18 inches down.
Nice.
I mean, it was a nice two-day slow soaker.
Yeah. So if you have drought-resistant trees and shrubs, you can, even if it doesn't rain again for a month, you're good. So, yeah, turn that sucker off. Save some money. Save water. You know, we need to conserve. This is the time of year when people really in the landscape overwater because they don't adjust enough. You know, some people don't adjust at all. They've got it set. They've got that timer out there on the wall somewhere. They don't even know how to operate it. That would be a good bucket list New Year's resolution for people is either hire somebody to come change your controller three or four times a year or learn how to do it.
It would. It really would. And once you got the program A, B, C, D, then you've got the switch 100%, 75%, 50%. You know, then you've got to set the dates and the times and all that. Once you get through it.
Mm-hmm. And set it for one or the other. So, you know, I mean, it isn't the most optimal way to do it, but if you've got that seasonal adjustment, at least you're correcting. At least you're saving and you're conserving. So once you have it set for either winter or summer, I prefer to have it set for summer. Summer's our problem. I mean, that's when plants stress. That's when they need the water. As much as people overwater in the winter, a lot of people underwater in the summer. So once that's set, and if you know everything's okay, your stuff did okay this summer, your landscape looked pretty good. Okay, now adjust from there. You know, 50% of that come fall. 50% of that again
In the winter. You're down to a quarter of your normal water. More with John J. Harper when we get back here in the Outdoor Living segment of Rosie on the House. And the lines are open if you'd like to join us on this Christmas Eve.